SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And yet another kind of gray morning here, but at least the rain has eased. It's eased to the east and to the south, apparently, where flooding goes on. And see about opening day at Belmont. Hoping that it doesn't impact the turf as the Big B gets going. But meanwhile, here, we still have a wet racetrack. And a little better today, though. It was not sealed. It was harrowed. So at least the horses could get out there and do more. And more horses showing up, coming out in the morning during the 7:30 to 7:45 training session. And horses as well on the regular training front as they get ready for the two biggest days of racing, Oaks and Derby Day, for instance, tomorrow. Last year's Derby winner, always dreaming, will be working apparently early morning as he prepares for the Ali Sheba. And nice field. In fact, today we should, I think, from Darren Rogers' office, we should have some of the probables for the rest of the weekend's card, and always interesting. And there'll be some big names, of course, on the undercards, both Friday and Saturday. Meanwhile, this morning, no real notable appearances. A few, as always, when you get the gallop sessions, you'll see some horses that do a little bit more, or you'll see some horses that are more eager than others. You'll see some horses that warm up a little indifferently and may need a circuit of the oval before they get loose and warmed up. That's not unusual either. In fact, I was exchanging some thoughts about some appearances and some eagerness on the filly side in particular. In fact, Sassy Sienna. Sassy Sienna, your fantasy winner, and she is go all the time. And there's, you know, there's horses, when I say indifferent, there's horses that come out and they'd be just as happy to stay in their stall all day, or, you know, be in the round pen, or do anything. They're no more happy to be out on the racetrack. They just kind of go through the motions. Then there's others that just love being out, and when you hear trainers say, love their job, you know what that kind means, what that is a reference to. It's a horse that goes out there and is, you know, is got the head up and is looking around and just is happy to be, you know, out exercising and getting a chance. And Sassy Sienna is one of those. And Wonder Godot is an interesting case, and a horse that, when you look at her career thus far, and those of you that listened to the show and heard Mark Cassie going back to last year in particular, you knew that, you know, this was a horse that they had a high regard for right away. And she, I suppose that she's in some ways the female counterbalance to Free Drop Billy, a horse that's getting a reputation as somewhat disappointing, a little unfairly. It's not like either one has done anything wrong and is underperforming. It just, you know, when you get a buzz early on a horse and you have certain, you get certain expectations get implanted in your head, and you figure, you know, by now their resume should be a little more, a more gilded to this point. But Wonder Godot's problem right now, it seems to be that she is just She is just eager and hyper and unsettled. And that's something you hear and when you hear from Mike Welsh and Clocker John and Gary Young. You want a horse that is out there and is relaxed, is eager and is energetic, but at the same time, not fighting the rider, or you know, there's a delicate balance between a horse wanting to do more. For instance, Hofburg this morning, it was obvious that Hofburg was asking the rider, you know, let me do something here, but he wasn't being ridiculous about it. Sassy Sienna no sooner did she get out and stand against the rail at about the eighth pole, she wanted to get going, and once she got going, she did relax. Wonder Gadot a little bit differently, because she starts out and she's pulling and pulling and let's go, and then even when she starts to get into a flow, she's tearing, she's lurching and wants to, you know, hits the ground hard and puts a lot into the work. And we should talk to Mark Cassie. In fact, we owe Mark Cassie a call anyway, regarding Valadorna's win on Friday. In fact, Keeneland, we should fold in. Keeneland, 3 days of racing remain before the scene shifts right here on opening night Saturday at Churchill Downs. So Sassy Sienna and Wonder Gadot, most notably. I would also mention that Mark Hennig, the Hennig filly, My Miss Lily, she is I think you would describe her as lithe, leggy and kind of elegant and tall pointed. It has got a very nice, really got a very nice air about her. And of course, Grays invariably can catch your attention. But My Miss Lily certainly has made a positive impression here. So a handful of the fillies out this morning. We came to the boys. I told you about Hofburg. Flame Away again this morning. Just, this is going to feel like one of those broken records. You get the sense. Flame Away comes out every morning and just goes about his business, and you know, does it with a real rhythm and a positive vibe. And Flame Away, I think everybody has the same appreciation for what he's been accomplishing. And I guess I can mention that as part of the Express Bet Kentucky Derby wagering guide entry, which has to be in at noon today. So I did mine last night, and I worked on it pretty much all yesterday afternoon, and then went and got a bite to eat, and then came back and finished it, and even polished it more this morning. And Flame Away has wormed his way into my heart and at the bottom of the plays. I searched for horses that I could compare Flame Away to, and the horse that ultimately I settled on was Shackleford. He reminds me of Shackleford, and the more I thought about it, and you think about Shackleford's try in the Derby ahead of his Preakness win, and the more I thought about that, the more it felt like there was no reason the Flame Away, who was going to fit that profile of being with the leaders at the eighth pole, no reason to think that he can't do at least what Shackleford did, which is hold on for fourth. And so I put him on the bottom rung and included Flame Away in the top four that we lay out in the Express Bet Kentucky Derby wagering guide, which will be available early afternoon on Friday at Express Bet. So Flame Away out there again, another positive morning. There was the most horses in terms of the Derby runners that we've seen assembled, and of course the better track conditions allowed for everybody to get out, and that included the Romans pair, free drop Billy, and promises fulfilled, the quartet of Todd Pletcher players, Noble Indy and Vino Rosso, Audible and Magnum Moon, all out and all looking good. My boy Jack, got a chance to see him for a little bit. Lone Sailor, who I featured in a little video, little 30-second video clip, he was the first horse out on the racetrack, and he toured around. I lost sight of him, so I assume he went to the paddock and did a tour of the paddock. And then, near the end of the session, is only when he started in and did his work. And so, Tom Amos, kind of showing a hand to some degree, having the horse out for as long as possible, for, you know, waiting at the gap when the training session starts, and then letting him spend as much time at the rail as he wants. These are little nuanced elements that horsemen with your horse that you gauge and you give them, you know, as much time to be mentally prepared as well, and just, you know, spending as much time out as possible. And the Lone Sailor, first on, last off this morning. Bravazo out there as well, and I mentioned Hofberger ready. I saw all the Asmussen team re-ride, and now that I'm thinking about it, I did not see Combatant, now that I think about it, but I did see Dream Baby Dream and re-ride. And I usually, you know, notate them as I catch them, and put my own little hieroglyphics next to them. So with the weather improving, expect we'll see a little bit more from the Derby and Oaks horses. And a reminder, if you missed yesterday, or if maybe you heard parts of Ed and James from yesterday, had a lot of fun with them. And 7 to 8, KentuckyDerby.com and all the various outlets to enjoy the one-hour show, which includes the training session. So a couple of other things. Let's set up this morning's activities, and we will check in with Pete Fornatel, the first call, and catch up on the contest scene from the weekend, and moving toward next week, and of course plenty of opportunities all over, and of course the scene shifting at a lot of venues between, you know, the tracks that just getting started on their seasons, like Woodbine and more. So some shifting sands in terms of where people are focused and where some live money contests going on. Monmouth, of course, not far off from getting started. And by the way, speaking of Monmouth, we were on alert yesterday with Dennis Drazen for the potential for the Supreme Court to hand down was expected to be the positive ruling on sports betting. But Dennis told me that they did not expect it, as it turned out yesterday. And so May and June, and ideally, you know, by June, certainly, when the court takes a break. So keeping an eye out with each passing, you know, SCOTUS decision day dissemination. And we'll save it for next month, and we may even have to save it until June. But that was on the agenda yesterday, and I was keeping an eye. We'll talk to Jessica Martini from Thoroughbred Daily News, and the OBS sale got underway yesterday, and a very solid start. And there should be a little bit more, you would think, as the days go on. They'll start in about an hour and 15 minutes at 10:30. But yesterday, an $800,000, $875,000 scat daddy. And everywhere you look, the scat daddy progeny, four of them in the Derby. And in fact, that's a very big part of a lot of discussion. The people that are using prior Scat Daddy sons' performances and seemingly holding it against, to some degree, holding it against the candidates, including Justify. And we're going to talk to Sid Fernando later, and we'll find out. I mean, Justify and Mendelsohn are going to be, you know, your favorite and maybe your, what, third or fourth choice, maybe even second choice, based on some of the numbers that are out there. But there's something to be discussed with Sid regarding the Scat Daddies, because there's always an evolution in the kinds of mares that are going to stallions, and the early expectations when a stallion gets started, it draws certain kinds of mares, and obviously you don't know anything for the first couple of years. Then there's that tell-all third crop, and then you go from there. Well, you got to be careful, I think, when it comes to making hard decisions, because Scat Daddy was evolving himself as a stallion. And so we'll let Sid riff on that partly, and fold in more of the Derby field, and maybe even some Oaks glances before next week's Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale, Sid Fernando Derby selection reveal. Also, of course, OBS and Jessica Martini is the TDN, and we'll get into the day one results. $875,000 for the Scat Daddy filly that went 9-4. Phoenix Thoroughbreds making their presence really felt. And another big name, in fact, another classic participant, speaking of Phoenix, the Gronkowski News, they're going to point for Belmont. But Larry Best, who is into the Derby with instilled regard, he bought the Pioneer of the Nile just about 15 minutes later after that $875,000 filly. The Pioneer of the Nile colt out of American Lady. Eddie Woods having a great spring. And Larry Best, $850 for that colt. And then later in the session, some other nice knockdowns. $750, $775. We'll talk about all of it with Jessica, Andy Serling as well, and much, much more. Let's take our first break. We'll start with Pete. We're live at Churchill Derby Oaks coverage.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us racing. This is Brian Sanfratello.
With 35 5 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Hey folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Marilyn for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, $25,000. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, 20 plus into hour one here on Wednesday, midweek, week before Derby week, and Pete Fornatale joining us from the Daily Racing Forum. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you. Rainy morning here in New York. Hear a rumor this spring thing's going to be happening. We saw some hints of it, but we're basically back to early March.
And we suffered through it here for the last 3-4 days, and it hasn't hurt really the training program. Everybody got their work in, their usual weekend work, but you certainly are eager to get this track to dry out, and there'll be the last Derby Oaks works Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And even probably some people on Monday that work that way, that work a 5 day. So we're headed in the right direction. I can't help you back in New York.
Fair enough. Eager to see more of the reporting on DRF.com, and of course listening to your show every day, whether it's live on Sirius or via the archive, SteveBick.com, to catch up on all the goings on down there. If you can't be there, you might as well be there vicariously through the DRF team and you, Steve. So thanks for providing that excellent service as always.
Well, it's been one of my absolute favorite times of the year, and these 2 weeks invariably special here, and we've already, it's already, I think, just ratcheted up. It's hard not. In fact, whenever we're on the road, whenever we're on site anywhere, not that I don't try to maintain the energy level when I'm sitting at home, but you know that feeling.
Oh, absolutely. The travel, though, is good. You get that little, it's that extra cup of coffee, you know, that you just feel that much more plugged in. But I'll tell you, this time of year, I agree, you get that extra energy level sort of whether you like it or not. There's so much going on, so much to discuss. I've got a couple fun extra things I'm working on next week. Folks can look for marquees coming up on the DRF site on Wednesday evening. We're going to be doing a little web show with Jay Privman and Craig Milkowski. And then on Thursday, I'm going to have Mike Watchmaker and Andy Beyer. Mostly those shows will just be deep dives into the Derby, but always great to hear what those folks have to say from a handicapping perspective and from a news perspective as well. So should be a very fun week, both on At the Races and on DRF, as we lead up to this running of this year's Kentucky Derby.
You know, you also bring up an interesting harmony for players and for contest players, and of course, there's the established schedule of the, you know, of the big highlights, you know, the BCBC and the World Championship of Handicapping now from DRF and the NHC. But it would also stand to reason that contest players, much like trainers pointing for races, that they have their certain times of the year and their certain targets on the calendar that, you know, where they point and excel. And in fact, now I'm just thinking about, you know, Nick Tamaro, you know, mentioning that he's qualified for NHC at the same venue at least a couple of times, maybe Hawthorne. But it just, there's a certain, you know, there's probably a certain harmony there.
100%. We've talked about it a little bit before. The horse for course idea. There are horse players for courses as well, and it can have to do with different things. It could be somebody like Mike Maloney, so comfortable at his home track of Keeneland, typically over the years does better there than other places, and that certainly mirrors his contest results as well. It can also have to do with times of the year. A couple of good examples of that: the great Michael Baychuk, of course, has been on your show many times, Steve. He, as somebody who works in politics, when the political season is over, special elections excluded in this example, but when the political season is over and he can start focusing a little bit more on his hobby in December and January, over the years, he's found that he's had most of his success there. I've heard the same thing from accountants after tax season. So I think it can have to do with certain formats that suit a player. Blaise Brocato doing so well, another guy who's done so well at the Keeneland contests over the years, or Nick, whether it's Keeneland or an event like Hawthorne with its unique rules that are certainly going to suit some players, or the time of year. It's something to consider, and it's also part of the importance, and Maloney talks about this in Betting with an Edge, of keeping records, because sometimes those examples I just gave are fairly obvious and people are going to know, but there's other more subtle things for people who grind playing the horses 12 months out of the year that they might not realize. And when you look at your records, you might find certain situations, certain times of year, certain venues, certain wagering pools where you have an outsized or undersized success. And the smartest players are going to take that information and make it work for them and start putting more money in the places where it's working for them and avoiding the places where it's not. Just very basic financial management skills that apply to playing the horses as well.
The evolution too, the new contests that spring up, the experimentation and the way, whether it's the venues or whether it's the contest providers and you know the online venues as well, that can provide for a change up and for experimentation. But, you know, much like horsemen themselves, the players, we all are real, I don't want to say superstitious, but we certainly have ritualistic approaches and, you know, a certain element of comfort zone familiarities that, you know, that permeate our approach. And maybe, frankly, that's something that people should maybe maybe reevaluate, in fact, Pete. Is that fair? And maybe take, you know, to get out of a comfort zone now and then, especially if you're looking to break a schneid.
I think we're all creatures of habit, and that can be good and it can be bad. And I think between the tool of looking at your own data for guidance, but also I think that the benefit of shaking it up, as you're saying, is going to be twofold. You know, something good might happen. You might find a new track, a new tournament format, something, a skill that you're better at than you thought you would have ever been. But I think even if you just break up the pattern, just to see what it's all about, even if it doesn't, the new activity doesn't necessarily jibe with how a new way that you want to play the horses, I think you can learn a lot about yourself by taking smart chances, measured risks, and it might be able to inform the rest of what you do. And I mean, I think I'm not so subtly referring to the idea of experienced cash players who might want to check out tournaments and not just one kind of tournament, but different tournament formats to see if they don't help them. I mean, that's another Bayshark quote that we've discussed before, I think, is the idea that playing the horses trains you, or playing contests specifically, trains you to focus a little bit more on elements of your game that can then become reincorporated and used day to day. And we've also talked about that idea of the muscle memory. A lot of players don't necessarily like mythical money contests for various reasons. I have no problem with them personally, and there's a lot of people who love them. But even for somebody who's more of a live bankroll player and is more interested long-term in live bankroll, you play in some mythical contests where you're sort of forced at times, just due to the gameplay, to reach towards the longer end of the odds spectrum. You can develop a muscle memory for what the winning profile of a cap horse is. And then maybe down the line, in a chaos race, you use that same skill to throw in that extra horse that triggers the giant payout. I definitely think there are benefits of looking at the world a little bit of a different way through different forms of play, for sure.
Let me, Mike Welsh joining us too, and Pete, on the ritual format, let me ask you this. Use the Derby as a backdrop. I did this with Scully and DeRosa yesterday. Your approach, and what are you doing, you know, here 9 days out in terms of preparation, then bankroll, and all the things that you'll do to approach Derby Oaks weekend?
I think for me this year, most of my money, I'm going to try to keep things very simple. I've set up this, we'll see how it works out or not, but my own opinion of the race, fairly boring. I think the favorites are very dangerous, but I think there might be an opportunity to create a little bit of value with this sort of international ARB approach, where I've grabbed a little 5-to-1 Justify over in the UK. I'm hoping price on the day in the USA parimutuel pool that Mendelsohn goes north of the 9-to-2 where he seems to be sitting internationally right now, and maybe I can grab some, I mean, heck, I'll dream 8-to-1, you know, probably more like 6-7-to-1 on him, and I think that'll be most of my play. And then I might just take a little bit of money and try to kill the race in a bet like the Super with horses like a Hofburg or Free Drop Billy or Combatant running in with those two horses in the number, or one of those horses keyed first and second. But the cute vertical stuff would be a small amount of the play, just in case I end up fluking it and picking the race exactly right to get seriously paid. And most of the money will be just like, hey, I think these are the two best horses. I think I can try to sneakily get a little bit of an overlay and, you know, hope for the best as far as that goes. And this is all without having actually properly handicapped the race yet either. And I do think the draw could be key this year. So I don't want to get too locked into anything I'm saying. I want to be able to go back and really try to design this race in my head once we have post positions with so many horses with similar running styles. I do think it could be a little bit more of a difference maker this year. So I look forward to continuing this conversation, though, Steve, over the course of the next 9 days, and hopefully we can come up with something clever and make a few dollars on this year's Derby.
What kind of bankroll do you apply? The Scully, for instance, you know, this is one of his biggest betting days of the year. Andy Serling will be on with us at 11. Andy might bet more on the third race at Aqueduct on a Thursday than he will on the Derby. To him, it's no more engaging than, you know, than any other race day, except that there's, you know, more horses.
I'm more in the Scully camp, as much as I respect Andy, than the Andy camp here, with simply the idea being with the giant flow of liquidity in horizontal bets, in vertical bets that day. I feel like I won't necessarily make it be the biggest betting day of the year at all, but if there is an opportunity, if there's something that I like, I'm going to be more aggressive simply because I believe there's just one of those rare days where we have plenty of fat in the pools with all the extra attention that comes when you're looking at a race like the Derby. But, you know, you don't want to go crazy. You don't want to say, hey, I have to have this be my big handle day because it's the Derby. I mean, if you don't have an opinion, it should be a non-starter, and you should bet more on the third at Aqueduct where you have an opinion, no doubt. But if you can find a clever way to get involved, it's worth it to me stepping on the gas a little bit more just because of the economic environment on the day.
Well, we'll talk obviously next week, and you'll have a field. We'll, in fact, have drawn the Derby on Tuesday next week. So the Wednesday-Thursday session, one of the great additions and innovations is this earlier draw for both Oaks and Derby. That's a big positive. Pete, we go, a quick survey of what's lying ahead.
Absolutely. Lots of cool stuff going on DRF tournaments. We just put up contests for both Del Mar and Saratoga. We have a lot of direct qualifiers this weekend. I mean, basically, the tournaments that we've been running contests for all have qualifiers this weekend. World Championship of Handicapping, the World Horse Player Tour Preakness event, the Monmouth Contest, and Belmont. You can win your way directly this weekend on DRF tournaments into all four of those. And one thing I want to mention to your listeners specifically, Steve, that I think they'll appreciate, cool new wrinkle for the World Horse Player Tour Santa Anita Contest. We are going to be having on May, I think it's May 13th, whatever the Sunday is, before the Preakness, there is what we're calling a big money last chance contest, which is a $1,000 90 buy-in. One in five players will win their $5,000 Preakness entries. The player who handles the most money in WHT Santa Anita events between today and that Saturday the 12th will get a free entry into that big money contest. It's pretty cool. Way to reward loyal players on DRF tournaments. I'll be publishing an article shortly that'll have all the details on that. Wouldn't be surprised if it's an At the Races listener who is the beneficiary of it. The player winning that cannot have qualified otherwise, as it's a one entry per person contest.
Very nice. Very nice. Anything else? I noticed you didn't have any weekend postscript.
Last weekend was feeder heaven. We did not actually run a direct qualifier with the four big events coming up this weekend. There was a ton going on, but it was all people advancing from last weekend to this weekend. Now, one name that was at the top of many, many leaderboards you'll recognize, Jonathan Kinchin, was lighting it up on there. So he'll be certainly a player to watch this weekend, see if he can get himself moved forward to a game like the Belmont one, or I know he's been very interested in coming to Monmouth for the June 2nd Pick Your Prize. That's a really cool contest. Players come in from all over the country for that one, and Monmouth do a great job, Brian Skirka and the team there, and it's a chance to win seats and cash, events like the NHC, the BCBC, and a lot of players circle that one on their calendar. I know JK's interested to try to win his way in there as well.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly, and Derby Oaks looming boldly, and lots of fun opportunity on the contest front. Pete, talk next week.
We'll talk Derby week.
You bet. Pete Fornatel, everybody. Let's take a time out here, and we'll come right back because Jessica Martini of the Thoroughbred Daily News. As we like to say, never too early for a martini when it's Jessica Martini. And they're about 45 minutes and change away from starting day two of OBS. We'll get some of the personalities and look at some of the hips for today and see what Jessica and the team at TDN have thought about day one. Back after this, we're live from Churchill Downs.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse player now's Bob Neumeier. XVTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Hey, you!
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come out of here on the floor, honey, let's rock some more, yeah. Now when you get out here, don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out. Ah, my mama moved up.
Well, the workout's the pre-show portion, the 6 days that ended on Saturday, and now the sales portion at OBS. And day one went seemingly very well, and no seven-figure sellers, but two in the $800,000 range, three over $700,000, and quite a few $500,000 and above. And Jessica Martini and company handling the coverage for TDN, and she joins us now. Jess, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent, and I appreciate the opportunity to check in after day one and get some more preview into the remaining 3 days of the sale. And one of the things that was notable to me, the catalog started, in terms of the dams alphabetically, started right at A. And so it doesn't feel like Tom Ventura and the team tried to pick and choose and backload or place horses in a certain spot among the 4 days.
Yeah, usually the catalogs are alphabetical by dam. So and they pick a letter. I think it changes what letter they start with every year. They change what letter it starts with. But that's fairly typical.
Well, but very typical, but to start right at A and go straight down is, maybe I just haven't noticed, but usually it seems like that letter has an ulterior motive in it.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it affected anything. As you said, there were no fireworks yesterday, but I think maybe it's going to be building up momentum. Also, that first the first group of horses were working into a headwind last year. Last week, and everyone keeps talking about that. So the times were slower. So I think maybe this was a case of it was a good solid day of trade yesterday, and it's going to build momentum from there.
Well, and I saw in your piece overnight that Tom Ventura actually addressed that, and that from a sales perspective and a consigner perspective, relieved that the horses that may have had to deal with the headwind and the slower times, they still sold all right. The ones that went through the ring yesterday, the ones that deserved to sell well.
Sure, they didn't seem to be penalized too much for the slower times. I think everyone acknowledged that the conditions were rough last Monday.
This group of horses, and we can talk overall and then delve into the results yesterday in terms of some of the very prominent names that were already establishing themselves on the buying front. But what were your thoughts going in to the sale, and what were you looking for, knowing that last year was pretty much a high benchmark?
You know, I think the April sale has really evolved over the last few years, and it has become the two-year-old sale. It is the two-year-old market. So you want to see a large buying bench. That's kind of there are a large number of horses on offer. You want to see broad buying bench of a lot of different people, and that was definitely something that we saw. I mean, pulling into the OBS sales pavilion yesterday, there wasn't a parking spot empty in the entire lot. So that was a good sign right off the bat, and I think there was good solid trade across the board. It seemed like I think the top 10 horses were bought by 9 different buyers, so it seemed like lots of people shopping, lots of activity across the board. It seemed like a good solid opener.
Well, certainly one name that kind of jumped off the page and bought the second most expensive hip, and then I think maybe the 11th. So you might have had, let's say, the top one of the top buyers of the day, Larry Best, Oxo Equine, and I suppose that maybe Larry Best is in a good mood, knowing that he's going to have a Derby runner and Instilled Regard, and that kind of bodes well for consigners.
Sure, yes. I haven't seen Larry Best on the grounds, but his advisor John Dowd has been shopping busily, so I'm sure we'll see a lot of him.
Let's talk about some of the names, and undoubtedly, the Scat Daddy story is going to be impossible to avoid, knowing that. You know, we're running out of them at this point, and the fact that four of them will participate in the Derby is really an amazing circumstance. The Scat Daddy filly that led to the day's session, Phoenix Thoroughbreds, who of course have been heavily in the news, the Gronkowski situation and more. Phoenix Thoroughbreds continues on, I don't want to call it a spree, I suppose at this point it's a regular presence.
Well, actually Frank Fletcher bought the top price horse yesterday. The Quality Road filly was the top price at $800,000 on Tuesday.
And then there you go. Yep, absolutely. And I'm looking. That's right. I'm looking at.
You frightened me there for a second.
Yeah,
I wrote the wrong thing.
No, that's right. That's right. And Frank Fletcher, the Arkansas, Arkansan. I don't know why that.
Actually, there were two Arkansans on top. It was Frank Fletcher, and then there was Alex Leblanc.
Absolutely,
Arkansas was well represented yesterday.
Well, and. Leblancs bought more than just the one. They also
I think they bought two, right?
Yeah, two big names.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about
one thing that impressed me last July. I remember you specifically talking about he's had enough. I remember that he was on your radar last July. And that's, you look very smart right now, because if you invested in he's had enough, I think you're feeling pretty good. He had two really good sales yesterday, and people can't say enough good things about his horses. He's got some really good moving horses, and he's an exciting one to watch. I was looking up his yearling average was $32,000 last year, and his two-year-old average right now is $165,000. So that's, he's looking like a promising young sire.
Well, we lost a baby. He's had enough baby. It's one of those, you know, one of those elements that you can't, you got to be ready for. And I'm just looking at the two, $370,000, that West Point and Robert Masiello. And you also had a second that went, that Gary Young bought for $320,000.
The Gary Young, yep.
Eddie Woods having an amazing spring, Jessica. We should mention that.
He's had a lot of success, yes. I think he had the million-dollar horse at Gulfstream, and he's just building on that. He had the topper at Barrett's. Yeah, so every time you look up a nice pin-hooking score, Eddie Woods is involved. He's had a great spring.
One of the things that should also connote here, Seth Klarman, $475,000 for a big drama, and that was hip 245 that went in 10 flat in the show, and this is a Florida bred, obviously, and Eisenman handling. And, you know, Seth Klarman, somebody that is quite comfortable buying individuals, and much like Dennis O'Neill.
Sure. I believe that Mike Ryan signed the ticket for Seth. And that horse, the big drama, was quite a standout. I talked to Barry Eisenman, who bred the horse, and he said maybe the big drama kept the price down a little, but this was an outstanding individual, and he's really excited about his prospects as a racing horse. So that is definitely an individual buy there, more than the pedigree power.
Mike Ryan was busy, and in fact had a number of the tickets that dotted the top 20.
Yes, Mike Ryan is always, he's one of the busiest guys out there. He's always see him out shopping and looking at every horse, and he's got all the I's and crosses all the T's. He's a busy guy.
Some other stallion stories. What else caught your attention in terms of who had notable days?
Well, Strong Mandate continues to be really popular. He had the second highest priced horse. And he had a couple really nice sales. I think he had a $280,000 sale as well. So he continues to be popular. Quality Road, we talked about the top filly, and obviously he had those two champions last year, so you would expect his fillies to be popular in the sales ring this year, and they are proving that out to be the case.
Well, and just thumbing through, Cairo Prince had a pretty steady parade of horses yesterday, the high being 260, 235, private sale to Eaton Bloodstock for 200. That was one of Carrie Fromer's. 150, Manganero Bloodstock, then 72,000 and 52,000. That's a very nice day. Only one the days Cairo's was withdrawn, and that gets him started off. I think that's as well. He's got another maybe 18, 19 horses yet the next 3 days.
Still has, and he has a big one today in the yearling that was purchased for $500,000 at the Fasig Tipton New York sale, and he'll go through the ring today with Waiver Tree. So that could be a firework one for Cairo Prince.
No, that's always one of my favorite parts of this is you know, kind of seeing particularly some under the radar types that you can note the difference just from what a certain stallion's progeny sold for as a yearling, and then now on the tail end, you know, I mean, it's a good 8 months since they were looked at as yearlings, and they change, and it's one of the things to watch. Golden Sense looks like some of that early buzz from earlier this winter when the season started looks like Golden Sense is selling through well.
And he's had some fast workers too. That's always going to get on people's radar. So that'll move him up way up. So obviously, yeah, that's going to help him.
RNAs were under 30%, I think.
Under 30%, and OBS has a policy that they add in post-sales as they go. I think for the next 4 months, they'll be adding in post-sales. So that number will drop. I think if you look at it compared to last year, the final figure that that OBS put out was maybe in the low 20s. And so you would figure that figure from yesterday would also drop.
Look ahead, and you mentioned the Cairo Prince from today. Who else are you watching carefully? There's certainly no shortage of sibling strength. You've got HIP 352 today, the Tappet Colt out of Flaming Heart, the half-brother of Commissioner. You've got a couple of other major players. How about the Into Mischief filly later on, the half to Zenzational?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting day to see what happens with these horses. As we talked about with the Monday, breezes were so slow, we're getting into the horses that work more quickly. So I think today there may be five horses that worked at 9 and 4. And there's an Alpha Colt who was the first one to hit the quarter in 20 and 3. So I think we'll see a pickup in the sales today.
Who are you excited about? Who did you highlight as you watched the Breeze Show and then watched some horses get pulled out of their stalls?
Well, I'm really excited about the Cairo Prince that we talked about before. I think talking to Kieran Dunn about him, and he's really high on that colt. Obviously, he paid $500,000, so he should be really high on the colt, but I think that's one to watch.
Any particularly notable pinhook successes from yesterday that stood out?
It seemed like there was a bunch of steady ones. I think that the Barton Thoroughbreds from California, they had bought the dam of Spectator before she started, and they bought her for, I think, $4,500 with a strong mandate colt in utero, and he sold for $280. So they're out on that mare right away, and they still have the mare, and they're breeding her back to Jimmy Creed.
Nice. And I'm going to mention, I just was thumbing through some other results, and at the bottom of the page, Jessica, I want to suggest keeping an eye on the uncaptureds that go through. The Lieblongs bought the filly that went in 10 flat, HIP 248 for 350. There was a 185 Ben Cecil bought for the Redhams, and then Whitehorse paid 180 for Craig Wheeler's colt that went a quarter. And then there was also Mike Ryan for 62,000, Ocala Studs, HIP 190. That's a notable day for uncaptured.
There was a lot of buzz about Uncaptured going into the two-year-old sale. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people have their eyes on him.
Finally, in terms of other buyers, who have you talked to, and what caught your interest, either somebody that's been quiet of late or somebody that showed up that you're keeping an eye on?
I think all the usual players have been here. A lot of trainers. Bob Baffert arrived a little late in the day yesterday, and it was nice to see Frank Fletcher here in person this year. I've spoken to his bloodstock agent a few times, and I've never actually spoken to him in person, but he said he wanted to come and enjoy the experience of buying a horse, so I got to talk to Frank Fletcher, and it's nice to see the owners actually come out and be a part of the process as well.
Absolutely, and should also mention one name. There's a name that continues to be worth noting, and the presence of Tom McGreevy with his new client, and keeping an eye on what he's up to. So day two, 10:30, and the coverage outstanding. The TDN that Jessica and Christine DeBernardis providing, and always the first place to go, and they'll be watching for some bulletins. We're going to get a seven figure. What's your seven figure prediction today?
I think there'll be one. I suspect that there will be.
All right. So Jess says yes. And can the sale match last year's $3 million sellers?
That's going to be tough. Last year was a record breaker on so many levels for the sale. I think it's going to be hard to match again this year, but it's going to be a good sale.
Excellent. Well, Jessica, always a pleasure, and we will be watching and reading and keeping track of the OBS sale day two, and then a lot of the participants will head here to Churchill Downs. And that includes Jerry Hollendorfer and Bob Baffert and Gary Young, among others. Top of the hour upon us. We'll thank Jess for her visit, and you should be following Jess on Twitter. She does a super job, and you know all the bloodstock work at TDN. Jess Martini, TDN, to follow Jessica. Following Jessica with more bloodstock conversation because Sid Fernando is going to join us, and we'll talk to Sid, do a little bit of sale news, but more Derby Oaks, and they get his take on whether the Scat Daddies are obviously they're running out of chances to win classics, but I want to see what Sid says about mares and the evolution of the mares that were going to Scat Daddy, and wouldn't that potentially just the fact that you got four Scat Daddies in the Derby should tell you something, right? All right. Sid Fernando will tell you something when we come back. Hour two, we're live at Churchill Downs, Derby Oaks 2018, 144th runnings of the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeyer. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. San Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Good with ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vaughn, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.